and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, New Zealand's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Tonight we have a jam-packed studio ready to chat theatre, comedy, dance, cabaret, and I suspect some all-round general mischief. To kick off the show, Flying Nun Records have sent us a track for a brand new Kiwi artist, Vera Allen, and here is her debut song called You. Vera Allen. Thank you, Flying Nun Records, for sending that through. That definitely woke our audience up to start the show, Emma.
It definitely did.
Nothing like a bit of beat to get the day started. You're looking a bit tired. You've had a full day of rehearsals, working hard.
Well, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was a full day. We've had the Zits probe today for our Into the Woods. So, yes.
Brilliant. And we've brought some of your cast along, so we're going to shed the stories a little later on. Mm. Did you catch any shows this week, or was it a busy Emma directing week?
It was directing and a few, 2 days of national meetings and strategic planning for Drama New Zealand. What about you?
Excellent. I went and supported The Farm, which we had on a few weeks ago.
Tauranga
Theatre. Mm-hmm. Well done. It was her first time directing, and I was really impressed. She did a good job. It was nice, light, entertaining story. Yeah, it was good. Full house, which was fantastic, and they've had good sellouts. And I've spent the weekend at the National Dance Challenge up at Kristen College, watching thousands of people dancing their little hearts away. It's real dance season at the moment, but again, a really high standard. I'm not there tonight for the finals, so everyone's working really hard tonight. Still going.
Awesome. So, yeah, 2 weekends of dance for you with Christchurch last week.
Busy dance time. And you and I have auditions next week for the Addams Family musical, so that'll keep us out of mischief.
Well, that's right.
Now we have a studio packed of people. Packed of people, Emma. Who have you got? You've got someone very colourful beside you.
Very colourful. Is that a nice way to describe you, Miss Manage?
Colourful is... Yeah, that's a good start, I would say.
Well, your microphone cover tonight matches your outfit.
Yeah.
Well, it must have been organised in advance.
Thank you for coordinating. Yes, it's lovely.
Beautiful.
For those who can't see me, I'm dressed head to toe in purple. No, not head to toe, sorry. Shoulder to hip bone in purple. and then I've got a purple microphone colour.
Beautiful. And you've been taking over Auckland Live's Instagram today.
Yes, I have. I've been answering a lot of questions. As a drag performer, as soon as you open the floor to questions, there's about 10 questions that you get immediately. Mm-hmm. So we sorted through those, and then we got to some juicy gossip after that.
Cool. So anyone that's got a question for Miss Manage about being a drag actor, put it on our Facebook page on Get Kick Arts, and maybe we might see if we can answer them.
I'm happy to answer most questions.
And then next to Miss Manage, we've got Vila. Hello.
Hey. Sup, everyone. Hello.
And Vila's here to talk about your choreography and dance performance that's coming up at the Pacifica Dance.
Yeah, exactly. Next Friday and Saturday. Just under the Pacific Dance Festival this year. Two more shows under the festival. Keen to talk about my work. So
fabulous. Nice. Fantastic. We'll come back to you shortly. And next to Vila, we've got the baker and his wife and his real wife. Yeah. So that's not confusing, Hello. Is it? So we've got Simon the baker, Simon Chapman, and Beth Goldstone.
Hello.
And Simon's wife is here as well. Hi, Fran. From the back corner.
It was quite nice when they came in tonight and the two wives met.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, there's certain parts of the world that would be acceptable, but not usually in New Zealand.
They're civil.
It went well.
Nice. And then moving along from... Now, I'm not even going to try and say the name of the show because I might say... Is it Bona Veritas?
It's In Bono Veritas.
There we go.
Latin.
It's Latin. That's how you say it. So from Covert Theatre, we've got Matt.
Hello.
And?
Ambiki.
Ambika.
Ambika.
Sorry, that's my bad. So hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
So as we said, a very full theatre.
Shall we start
theater?
Down the
studio.
Scene? Yeah. You're still in the theatre today.
I am. My brain's gone. Stephen, take over.
Shall we start down this end? So, improvised comedy, what are you up to now? What's happening? What's this one all about?
Yeah, so this is a show. It's an improvised documentary comedy or an improvised mockumentary.
Okay, and what are we mockifying?
Well, we don't know because it's improvised.
Right.
So on the day, we'll get some information from the audience and we make it up on the spot. And the style will be somewhat similar to Spinal Tap or The Office.
Or if you're from New Zealand, you might have seen what we do in the shadows. So the idea of interviews and fly on the wall as people go about their daily lives.
Ooh, okay. So how are you getting this from the audience on the day? Are we writing this in before we attend?
No, we're going to ask the audience for an event that they've attended, and then that's our inspiration for the show.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah, so we ask a few questions, get a few kind of details, and then the team, the cast on the night, will start to create characters based on that just so that, the audience can see, right, that was the inspiration. We can see new players and new characters being created right in front of us for the rest of the show.
Cool. How do you practice something like that?
Mostly we practice listening.
Yeah.
because we're listening and we're thinking about, well, what does that mean to me? How does it inspire me? How do I interpret that? You know, what kind of lateral things can I do take from that? Yes, so it's a lot of listening. Matt.
Yeah.
To Matt. So Matt, your role is to pull all this together?
Yeah, so I've produced the show. The show format was originally developed in Los Angeles at the UCB Theatre. So during lockdown, I spent a bit of time with the person in California who developed the show and thought this would be a great thing to bring to Auckland. And so we put the show on and we've been workshopping this for about 10 weeks, 3 or 4 hours every week.
Feels like longer.
It's not longer.
And how many are involved in the team?
We've got 15 players in the team, and on any given night we have 12 players playing, and they're not all on stage at the same time because that makes it quite chaotic. We have couples in there, or we have, you know, scene work, It's quite cool.
Mm. And how involved did the audience get? Is it just giving you that initial theme, or should they be afraid?
No, they should not be afraid. We don't pull anyone up on stage. We don't try and embarrass them in any way, shape, or form. We simply ask them questions so that they know it well, to prove it's improvised, really. And also just because then, you know, there's an idea that's born on that night, and that's it. Whether it's brilliant, it's over.
Brilliant. Have you practiced certain events and themes? I mean, I'm guessing lots of people will name some key moments.
Yeah, they do. But it's interesting, once you break it down, a lot of it is just about relationships and how people interact with each other. So that's what we spend a lot of time workshopping, is how to, as Mbeka says, how to listen to each other and interact with each other in a way that's going to be engaging and real and provide some comedy for the audience to enjoy.
Cool. Emma, we didn't catch up with how the Racist Anonymous went. It'd be interesting to know how they did out at Topo Theatre.
Oh, that's right,
ago.
Yes, I had to
improvise,
take a second.
Because we had a big conversation around how they were going to run a, you know, anonymous circle and discuss racism, and we met some fantastic characters. Yeah. And it was semi-scripted, semi-improvised.
Yeah, the characters themselves were pretty...
Well, planned, I guess.
Planned,
yeah.
But it was the people in the audience arriving to join the circle to talk about racism without realising they were going to be talking about it.
Yeah, I'd love,
could have been quite interesting.
I'd love some feedback on how that went. I hope it was really successful. All right, we're going to unpack throughout the night a little bit more about you yourselves as performers and producers, but I will jump now the microphone, and you feel free to, we're all sharing today, feel free to jiggle it. Mismanage, what have you got coming up in your world?
I am one third of LeFem, and we are a cabaret drag trio, and we are performing in the Auckland Live Cabaret season coming up. It starts in a couple of weeks. So we do our show with a 7-piece band, and this particular show is all the girl groups through the ages. So we sing the Supremes, the Spice Girls, all sorts. So it slaps because there's a horn section. And then, you know, combine that with three drag queens given microphones, and it's quite a hilariously fun time.
Brilliant. Where has this been performed at?
So we are actually doing two. We've got a drag brunch, which is performed on the mezzanine in the Civic. Sorry, it's sold out. You can't come. But then
nice talking to you, Anne. Move along.
But then we do our full-length show in the Winter Garden, which is below the stage in the Civic, which is a gorgeous venue.
Yeah.
In there, yeah.
And are there tickets available to that one?
There's tickets available to that, yes. And if you're in Wellington or Taranaki, we're taking the show on the road. So we go to Wellington at the end of July, and then we go down to the Right Royal Cabaret Festival in New Plymouth and do it down there as well.
Cool. Now, it might seem a silly question, but if audiences are listening, what can they expect from a drag cabaret?
What they can expect from our drag cabaret is some smutty humour. We get all of that out of the way in the first 5 minutes so that you can just relax. There's like a lot of sass. The three of us are, I don't want to say that we're competitive, but...
but we are.
But you are.
There is a lot of competitive nature in there. I think the best thing that I can say is you're going to come for good tunes. You're going to hear some of, like, absolute bangers, and you're not going to stop laughing.
Brilliant.
And as a choreographer, how much dance is in there? Or is it quite a small space, so it's pretty just stylized movement?
It's designed to kind of go into any space, really. But we had some lines, for sure. I mean, you can't not, if you're doing a Supreme... Well, we've got a Supremes medley. My favourite is Say a Little Prayer by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. So all of those... You can't stand still and sing this music. we've got a TLC, so, you know, in Spice Girls. So there's a lot of chore, but I don't think it's like kick a leg, do a turn. It's more like I'm in 6-inch heels, so I'll shake my booty in time. and give you a nice line on the top. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Brilliant. Throughout the show, we'll chat a little bit more about what you've been up to this year. But can I ask, as a performer, what is it that you love most about a cabaret show like this, from a performing point of view?
I love, absolutely love, when an audience is hanging on my every word, and then I can go wherever the heck I want with that.
Yeah.
My mum always told me that I was hilarious. So I like to call myself an amateur comedian. And so it's a chance for me to get up there and pretend like I'm a professional comedian and just make people laugh, which is the best.
Nice.
Yeah,
what more do you need, eh? A night out where it's hilarious laughter, start to finish, and some good music. Fantastic.
And some booty shaking.
And some booty shaking, definitely. Always time for some booty shaking. Excellent. I'm going to jump down to our friends from Into the Woods. So it was the baker and the...
Baker's wife.
Excellent. So you're getting ready to open in just over a week, is that right? Week or two?
Yes, yeah. We're opening in 2 weeks at the Pakaranga Howick Harlequin Theatre.
Correct.
And, yep, and you can buy tickets at iTicket.
We brought up the flyer to remember to say that.
It's done. And look, Into the Woods, it's a classic tale. It's been around a long time, obviously remade with some movies to help bring it back. What's so special about this story?
Well, I guess it's really cool in that it brings together a whole bunch of different fairy tales with a kind of, I guess, dark grown-up twist. Yeah, it's just fun to sort of explore all these well-known and less well-known characters in a more maybe nuanced way, with a more kind of grown-up eye than we experienced them as children.
Yeah, and our challenge is to make you forget that they're well-known fairy tale characters.
Mm.
And I think this show does a great job in making that happen very quickly, so that's what we're excited about.
Yeah. Cool. Tell us about your characters.
So we're the baker and the baker's wife, who you probably won't recognise from any particular fairy tale, but we kind of have ties to Rapunzel and witches and various things. But we're, you know, just a lovely married couple with our bakery, kind of struggling to make ends meet and really keen to have a baby, but it's not been happening for us, and that's kind of the spark of the whole show, really.
Yeah, so there's already quite a sad, dark place to start from for these two, who have been struggling all their lives to have a baby and not really sure why. And the story really kicks off from them when they finally realise that there is a spell has been placed on them, and they have to carry out a few tasks to break that spell. So the excitement of actually this thing that they've been wanting all their lives suddenly being available to them sets them on this journey where they discover all these other characters.
Nice. And they go... Into the woods.
Funny that. And fabulous music, but it's quite a different soundtrack to most shows.
Yeah. It was definitely, I think it's on first listen, you think, oh, this will be fine, this will be a piece of cake to learn. And then when you start looking at the rhythms and the melodies, you realise it's quite, there's some quite unusual stuff in there. And I think once you've got it down, it kind of all makes sense. But yeah, first wading into it, it's like, oh, what have we got ourselves into? This is hard.
Yeah,
and it is very clever. And I think a key difference in this one is that Sondheim is very clever at telling a story through the music. So while the music is very, very complicated, everything is intentional, and it really does push the story along. Mm. It's very clever.
Mm. And Emma, what interested you in directing this one?
My passion for Sondheim, I suppose.
Right.
I mean, I have directed Sweeney Todd, Little Night Music, and in this, and I just love Sondheim. Mm. I love the way that his stories and his music, the way it goes. And I love fairy tales.
Mm. And so I'm going to ask you a question we always ask other guests. What can audiences expect when they come?
Oh... An exceptional cast.
Thank you.
We've got 21 in the cast, and they are all freaking amazing. We've got the most amazing set.
Mm-hmm.
Walked in there today. Our youth cast has been, the youth committee at the theatre club have been busy painting. It does feel like we're going into the woods.
Yeah,
our musical director has assembled a 15-piece orchestra, and it's not often you go to community theatre and actually have
yeah, that's
two...
Great.
two violas.
Two violas.
Brilliant.
So a string section of six in a community theatre show is like, yeah, wow.
No.
It's great. And as the guy said, it's that twist, that's that nuance of, I mean, Prince Charming meets the baker's wife, you know, Cinderella meets the baker. Yeah, spoiler alert. Because in the second half, it's a bit like Tangled, where they do all the characters mush together in a strange, peculiar way. But you know what? There is a happily ever after.
Because it's one of those shows, you get to the end of the first half and you kind of feel...
It's finished.
It's finished. Mm. And I can remember, even with the movie, going, oh, it's finished. But then it suddenly just keeps going. But then the second half, you actually get quite into.
Mm.
Yeah, it's quite a different journey.
Definitely.
Cool. All right. Has Emma been behaving herself as a director?
Yeah, mostly.
Mostly?
I think so, yeah.
You're far enough down.
Thanks,
she can't
Simon.
Kick you under the table.
No.
Villa, let's chat to you.
Hello.
What have you got coming up?
Yeah, cool. So I'm one half of a double bill, which is under the Pacific Dance Festival. So my dance theatre work is called Ataliti Ole Crescent. First half of that is Samoan, translated as Children of the Crescent, or Sons of the Crescent, since our cast is all boys. It's just a work that I thought up of in a response to something that happened last year. During lockdown level 4, my parents, who stay in Waimondi, South Auckland, were given flyers from Kainga Ora just saying, like, there's going to be development in the area. A lot of people in the neighbourhood were getting these pamphlets, and it was completely blindsided, like, no one really knew where this was coming from. And so there's a lot of panic around, do they have to move out? What's going to happen to the community? And so...
And your parents had lived there for 25 years. You've been there.
All of my memories are there. So
and just a flyer in the letterbox. No discussion.
Yeah, like nothing prior, just really out of the blue. So I was in Sandringham. It was my first time moving out. So like getting that was a real slap in the face. And so this work was just a response to how I was feeling when I heard the call from my sister. So all of these memories sort of flicked through. In the house, just growing up, the street. And so I wanted to make a work that kind of captured the essence of the neighborhood, to eternalize that feeling and all those memories. And so, yeah, this work is really just a community over wealth type dance theater work.
So which is really cool because, of course, Number 3 Theatre Company did a similar response.
Exactly, yeah. So I didn't really know... I have heaps of friends in Number 3... as well. So when I went to see their work, I was like, yeah, I resonate with this heavily. And it's surprising that it's happening everywhere. And doing a lot
so
more
So that
thinking.
Was the same thing with the Mount... So that was a group in Mount Roskill who lived in a suburb where they all got suddenly told they had to move out because all their houses were being demolished for the new houses. So all these families of Mount Roskill who had lived there their whole life suddenly were actually losing their houses.
Yeah.
So the government comes along and just buys it, does it? So you get a price for your house and that's it? Or do the families there get to re-live in the new estate?
I have no clue, if I'm being totally honest. I just remember after hearing the news, seeing the pamphlet myself as well, a lot of people just got together and I remember I think they just talked about it, tried to sign petitions, and we haven't heard anything since then. So I'm not too sure if that means... if it's going ahead or if they're just being really quiet about it. I have no clue. I think for me, I just wanted to base it based off my experience and just really just the memories that it made me think of. Yeah, yeah.
I think you need to be getting your local MP to your performances.
Oh, I think that's a good idea, actually, yeah.
So where is the Pacific Dance Festival on?
Oh, it's our show's at Mangere Arts Centre. We've been blessed. I think there have been shows that have been being performed at ASB Waterfront. But the rest of the shows at the Mangere Arts Centre next week.
So you're a dancer, a choreographer, an actor, a performer, everything.
Yeah, I just love performing.
What do you enjoy the most? Which bit?
I think every... it's weird because I think every art form has its sweet spot with me. Like, I just love trying things out. Like, art really is just an imitation of reality. So sometimes if there's something that I resonate with heavily in real life. I just think about what's the best way to kind of capture that feeling or essence in art. So sometimes dance can't have that. Dance isn't the language for that sometimes. And then I'll go into theatre or sometimes living in someone else's shoes and acting. Or I've dabbled in music. I'm not the best singer. But yeah, it's just sometimes I just really love art. Like I really appreciate the craft. And yeah, I'm just a sort of servant to the craft day. So I'll continue to learn and try and put myself in places where I can learn. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I wish we were on TV, not radio. We could do quite a performance tonight, couldn't we? Our we talented cast could. Here in the studio.
We
this could have been something
could.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a short music break. This week, and you mentioned it last week, Emma, you went to the preview for the movie In the Heights. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I loved it.
So it's out now. So here is the song from the movie called Breathe.
This is my street. I smile at the faces I've known all my life. They regard me with pride, and everyone's sweet. They say you're going places. So how can I say that while I was away, I had so much to hide? Hey guys, it's me. The biggest disappointment, you know. The kid couldn't hack it. She's back and she's walking real slow.
Welcome home.
Just breathe.
Sigue andando el camino por toda su vida. Respira.
City was mine. I remember the praise. Ay, te adoro, te quiero. The neighborhood waved and said, Nina, be brave and you're gonna be fine. And maybe it's me, but it all seems like lifetimes ago. So what do I say to these faces that I used to know? Hey, I'm home. Straighten the spine, smile for the neighbors. Everything's fine, everything's cool. The standard reply, lots of tests, lots of papers. Smile, wave goodbye, and pray to the sky.
Nina!
Just breathe.
from the new motion picture In the Heights. And Emma, I see soon we've got Respect coming out, which is the story of Aretha Franklin turned into a wonderful movie. And then,
but even better than that, Dear Evan Hansen. How can you even talk about that one first? Dear Evan Hansen is the most important. Respect is out first. Come on, have some respect.
And
then at the end of the year, of course, West Side Story, which is meant to come out November. True. In New Zealand.
True. So, you know, COVID might have mucked up some theatres around the world, but it's given us some good movies because they've gone into studio instead in the safety of doing that, which is great.
True, true.
Now, I'm keen to unpack our guests' journeys outside of what they're currently working on. And if I start with Mismanage, what other mischief does Mismanage get up to, or your other alter egos, perhaps, when you're doing different things?
We try and limit Miss Manager's mischief, mainly because it takes 2 hours to get into it.
Can I just ask, what are the name of your other two?
So my sisters are called Misgivings.
Misgivings?
And Misdemeanor.
Oh, brilliant.
Beautiful.
Total mischief.
Yeah. So my boy alter ego, as we like to call him, is a busy theatre kid as well. So actually, My boy alter ego and Misdemeanor's boy alter ego just finished up Jersey Boys, the national tour.
Congratulations. Outstanding. Yeah, absolutely outstanding performances.
Lots of fun. And then also directs, produces, has a theatre company, lives and breathes theatre, is a dance teacher, all sorts. Busy kid.
Well and truly.
Yeah.
And between cities as well, spends... Yeah. A lot of time in Christchurch.
Most people are very confused as to where I live. Yeah, sometimes I see people in Auckland and they go, "God, how long are you here for?" I say, "Ever? I live here." Like, don't you live in Christchurch, or the vice versa? Down
last
in
week.
Yeah. No, I fly back and forth a lot for different bits and pieces. Yeah.
So, of all that big mix, directing, producing, acting, so is there one thing that sort of floats your boat more than the other?
Yeah. Directing is my favourite thing to do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
My favourite thing. When I direct, I direct and choreograph. So for me, being able to marry the language for storytelling with the movement, dialogue, and also craft, like, the stage presence of a performance as well, is so gratifying. And then also I don't have to do it. I just sit and watch.
So some of our listeners might remember, it's going back a while, but I think it was our very first kick-ass show with Stephen and I that your boy alter ego was here because they had just directed the longer name, Something a Badger.
The Incredible...
Yeah.
The Glorious and Incredible World According to the Fitzroys.
That's
and
the one.
That was fantastic.
Which was Glass Ceiling Arts Collective's first show.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a multi-discipline work with a mixed abilities cast, so very neurodiverse cast, which was really fun to work on. Funnily enough, both my drag sisters, Misdemeanor and Misgivings, were in the cast of that one as well. Not as drag performance. But yeah, that I love getting into all sorts of different things. I love physical theatre. I love working with communities that we don't see on stage often or traditionally. So I love my work with a neurodiverse cast. It's really fun. I just love making. Especially making for people. Mm. One of my favourite things to do is to be able to watch an actor performing and then walk up to them afterwards and be like, have you thought about this? Just one quick question prompt, and then they go away and they think about it, and then it completely changes their performance and how they approach a character or a role or a moment. And having the ability to change something that easily is really special to me. Yeah.
And what have you got coming up next?
Next we're doing Friends, the musical parody.
Yay.
So I'm flying to Christchurch.
And you're directing this?
Yes, yep. Directing and choreographing that one. So I'm off to Christchurch next weekend to audition for a few more of the roles. That was a COVID postponement. So because we postponed it, we are now looking for a new Ross, a new Chandler / Janice, because the actor plays both, and a new Rachel. So it's going to be fun.
Cool. And where will that perform?
Everywhere. It's a three and a half week tour of the country. So the cast do kind of one show in each centre, starts down, starts in Christchurch, based in Christchurch, moves all the way up, Whangarei, Kerikeri, through Auckland, Napier, goes
everywhere. That's a lot in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I've done the tour as a performer before, and it's definitely a lot, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got a cast of seven going on the road, so I imagine that's going to be quite the antics on the road for sure.
Yeah, friends having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some good social mediaing around that one.
For sure.
Mm.
Awesome. And as a performer after this cabaret, is there anything else on your diary sheet?
No, I'm putting my corset on and kind of leaving it on for a little while. The girls are doing a lot. We're very busy for the next couple of months.
Great.
And then we start working on our next show, which is going to be debuting in Auckland Pride next year.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
And cool to get hooked up today with Auckland Live. So do you do quite a few things for them?
They co-produced our debut show this year. So we did our Pride show, our Auckland Pride show in the Winter Garden with them. And then, so that kind of really gave us the platform to build the show and take it on the road from there. And then they get us back as often as they can. Every couple of days they get an email about, oh, could you try this, could you do this, could you do this, which is lots of fun. So it's really great to have a base here in Auckland of someone who wants to see our work.
Yeah.
And then all of our other festivals that we've been booked for have come to us because they've seen what we've been doing here in Auckland. So yeah.
Do you think that having RuPaul Down Under happening has increased awareness of drag acts, etc.? I mean, I'm not saying that it's a new thing. It's always been here in Auckland, but yeah, maybe a visibility or an acceptance even, maybe?
I don't know if I would pin that on Drag Race Down Under, but certainly the Drag Race franchise, especially in the last few years, has meant that drag is reaching a lot of people that it wouldn't normally or hasn't previously. So previously it was, I think, very pigeonholed to like the queer community and also like hen's parties, and getting involved in drag outside of that wasn't as common. But these days anyone can watch it, anyone can get involved, anyone can enjoy it. And then There's something different about watching it and then going and seeing it in person.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people who are drag race fans, and then when they see there's drag in their city or coming to their city, and what we do with ours is quite different as well. We're not three RuPaul girls who sew, and I mean, we do a cabaret show, so it's quite a different experience again. And then people that come see our show go, oh, cool, drag's not just what I see on RuPaul's Drag Race. There's a whole lot more to it. And what we do is very specific to us and our brand, but it kind of opens things up and people have a lot of fun with it.
And you have amazing voices, so people are going to enjoy the music.
Yeah, we're all MT kids, so we sing.
Yeah. Fabulous. Do our improvisers sing if I come across to the other side of the studio?
Yeah.
Do we get any songs as we're theming our improv nights out?
Not in this show. So in the theatre we have different troupes, and there is an instant Broadway troupe. They've just had a season.
Yep.
They finished up a couple of weeks ago.
They finished up a couple of weeks ago, and they literally make up a Broadway musical on the spot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so there's the live musician and everybody sings and...
Emma, we need to get them in here for a week. That would be a great Sunday night show. We could make up a full musical in here in studio.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
And tell us a little bit about your own journeys in improv and theatre.
So I was a stay-at-home mum, and I didn't have a lot of time. I couldn't throw myself into theatre, as I'm very jealous you live and breathe it.
Mm.
I can't. and I needed to do something to get out and find my own creativity. And I stumbled upon the Covert Theatre and did a 10-week workshop with them, and then did another 10 weeks. And many years later, here I still am, improvising, living in that moment, listening, playing. I think it's really enriched my life. It's I feel like I'm a more present parent because of it. I'm a more present person because of it. It's been really good for me.
Cool. What do you love most about improv?
I think the other people. Sometimes you step out on stage and you're doing something stupid. You'll make a funny shape or you'll say something ridiculous, and then someone else will step on there with you, and then it's less ridiculous, and then a third person steps on there with you, and then suddenly you're in a show and everyone believes the stupid thing is real. It's great.
And where would you like to see yourself go in this journey, like in years to come? Kids are off, settled, sorted.
Oh, I don't know. I would love to be able to live and breathe theatre. Yeah. that would be really lovely. And I feel like I can't get there at the moment, but, you know, that would be nice once the kids are gone and settled. And, maybe I'll direct, maybe I'll sing. I don't know.
On
my own show, yes.
And, I mean, mismanage, it's not easy to make a full-time career. I mean, you hear here, I mean, we're probably all a bit jealous and would all like to be doing that.
No, it's not easy.
But you're working bloody hard to make that happen.
Yeah, I think I'm quite fortunate in the sense that I have many different strands within the umbrella of theatre that I enjoy doing.
Which is the key, really.
And therefore, I can do many different things and find them all equally as satisfying. But then, you know, just being on Jersey Boys for the last 3 months, I've been hankering to do something else, you know?
Funny,
which
yeah.
is living the dream. But then I'm like, let's get back in the corsets. Yeah. Let's go and make people laugh. Yeah.
You could have done that in Jersey Boys, just added a different touch to it.
It would be hysterical.
Jersey Boys Down Under.
The sequence would have matched.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very brief anecdote. There's one point in the top of the second act, and they put me out on stage, and I'm a queer gentleman, and I was playing a heterosexual character, and they put me in a blazer that was green sequins. I said, this is the cruelest thing you've ever done. Put me in a sequin blazer and tell me to be straight, or try and be straight.
Brilliant. So you didn't take that costume item home at the end of the run?
No. No, I've got enough sequins at home.
Styly sequins, yeah. So, Matt, tell us about you as a producer. Do you act, perform as well?
Yeah, I will be in the show, so I'll be the documentarian for at least a couple of the shows. And Beaker will be a documentarian as well, so we're kind of mixing it up inside the group that are doing the show. So this is probably the biggest of the improv shows I've produced. I think I underestimated exactly how much work it was going to be, so my kids are very surprised to see me sometimes, but it's been good. And it's interesting, as Ambika says, one of the nice things about the, you know, the theatre community, Auckland does have a pretty rich and eclectic set of arts communities. So in the improvised theatre one, there is a lot of people who are there to help each other, provide experience around producing shows and how to network and how to put on a show that's successful. It's been very helpful.
Yeah. And for you, is this a regular gig that you're producing different improv?
Not anymore.
No?
It was a lot of work, so I'll probably get my rose-coloured glasses on again about Christmas and think, you know, that wasn't so bad after all. Maybe yeah. I'll do another one. And then I'll go and check the scratch marks in my desk. And I'll go, no, yeah. So we'll see.
Brilliant. Cool. Simon, tell us your theatrical journey that's led up to being a baker.
So I've been doing musical theatre for a very long time. I just as a sideline gig, never super serious. But, you know, one every couple of years as I was growing up tended to be the recipe. So The Baker was cast last year. This was my one for the year. And, I signed up as soon as I got the chance, really. I was very excited to get the opportunity to play The Baker. It is a much more challenging role than any roles that I've played before. And it has been a thrill working with Emma. I love working with different directors and seeing how they want to approach the characters. So this was a time to meet a new character for me. So that was my journey leading up to it, really. My one show a year pill, you know. I get to do this for a job, but I do love it. So
That's cool. And dream role, if there was something that got you to audition for next year, what would it be?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
So Jesus Christ Superstar is my favourite role.
I could do a one-man show,
Jesus Christ Superstar. That would be a lot of fun. I do put Gethsemane up there as my number one most exciting song that I would love to one day play. I've actually been cast as Judas on a number of occasions in Jesus Christ Superstar. So never Jesus. I think I am slightly typecast in that regard. But look, I think the actual the character that I would most like to play would be the American in Chess, actually. That's a show that I would break my one show a year rule.
Yep.
To be involved in. But I'm not getting any younger, my friend.
That is a cool role. Yeah, cool. Nice. Okay, Beth, over to you. Tell us your journey that's led up to marrying him.
On stage only. I sort of came up doing my background in classical singing. So I studied classical voice at Otago University, and I moved up to Auckland after I graduated.
Twinning,
yep. Emma and I happened to go to the same high school even, as well as the same university.
And we only found that out like two days ago.
Emma knows everybody.
So I kind of moved up here and it was sort of a much larger pond maybe than I had experienced in Dunedin. And I felt like I was getting a bit lost and doing mostly like competitions and stuff and starting to feel a bit sad just with you know, when you're constantly doing competitions, it's, you know, we're taught that music's all about expressing yourself, but then you're literally competing against other people constantly, and so I was getting a bit maybe falling a bit out of love with singing, and I was like, I need something to like bring me back, and a little ad for Into the Woods auditions popped up on my Facebook, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is what I need to be in a cast, in a show, like all working together for, you know, a common goal and to just get to perform and like tell a story. And I was very lucky to be cast in, you know, in the role that I was keen on. And after a year's delay due to COVID, here we finally are. And it's been so much fun and it's been, yeah, such a lifesaver, really.
Theatre's got a real buzz about it this year, and I think it is that after COVID thing, but everyone's just going to shows. Titirangi Theatre the other night, you know, it's amateur theatre, but there was still just that buzz in the space from the audience and the actors. Mm. Are you all feeling that in the work that you're doing this year?
Definitely. Lots of nods going on.
Yeah. Just has a different vibe. Long may it last. And dream role?
I don't know, to be honest. I did my dissertation at uni on That Bloody Woman, the musical about Kate Shepherd, and so maybe Kate Shepherd would be a dream role.
Well, we've got a couple of the cast from That Bloody Woman in here next week, actually, from Auckland Music Theatre. So, listeners, make sure you're listening in.
Break their legs. Give me a call.
Yeah.
Cool. And Vila, so we've heard a little bit about what you're up to at the moment, but tell us a little bit more about you and your journey.
Yeah. Where do I start?
Start at Otahu College.
Yeah.
Because you had a pretty good time there, from what I remember.
Thank you. Yeah, I went to Otahu College. I graduated 2014. I pretty much was dancing and acting from there, I reckon. That's what sparked the juice. I think I just did it.
I recall some pretty big glass awards going your way in your year 13.
I'm trying to be humble.
It's all right, I'll blow you, trumpet.
I was fortunate enough to get quite a few awards on my last year of high school.
Shout out Mr. Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Yeah. Hopefully he's listening. And funnily enough, for this work, I'm actually rehearsing at Uru College just to reconnect with my old high school and the students there. But I just fell in love with dancing and acting. Thank you to my older cousin, Charlie, as well, who was at the school at the time. And then I didn't know what to do after I left high school. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm either going to study something and then find something on the side. So it's either I was going to study acting and do dance on the side or study dance and do acting on the side. Fortunately enough, I found Massive Theatre Company. So I studied dance at the University of Auckland, graduated in 2018. And yeah, was with Massive Theatre Company from 2015 onwards, still with them today. And yeah, just freelancing as a dancer, actor, person that does stuff kind of guy.
Film actor.
I got into film acting in 2017. Thank you to Samson Rambo. Shout out to Samson Rambo and Ian Leo Pepe. I did my first short film called My Friend Michael Jones. First time properly in front of the camera, which is quite scary, different skill. And then just being blessed to sign to an agent and go forth, do some more things. Still trying to do some more things. Yeah, that's me currently. I'm still, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
And what does the rest of the year look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough to have this work tour to Rotorua, Wellington and Gisborne around September and October. And amongst that, I'll be teaching, I'm a fixed term lecturer at the University of Auckland, second semester for dance, as well as my first time as a tutor with Massive Theatre Company. So I'm still trying to develop as a full-time freelancer. I'm just trying to create avenues for myself to continue in the arts. So finding things, trying things out. That's pretty much me, auditioning for things. Once things come up, trying to perfect my craft. Yeah.
It's a dream role for you. So it might be different to these two.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, that's a stressful question. Put people on the spot like that.
Yeah, I'm already regretting
that. Yeah. There's so many roles, eh? I actually don't know. I think for me, the ones that I really gravitate towards are the ones that are very much not like me. Hmm. So I guess someone that's very not good looking. Nah, someone that's very, quite hearty, some real drama. I don't think that's very much me. So any of those roles, I'd love to challenge myself and test my whatever I have. Those are the dream roles, I guess, yeah.
That's cool. Miss Manage, I didn't ask you. Dream role?
I think my dream role is probably actually Miss Manage. I think, like, it being in the trio with the girls is gives me the opportunity to marry everything about myself as a performer, as a queer person who loves dancing and singing and costume design and all sorts. That gives me the opportunity to be authentic. Well, not authentically, it's in a heightened version, but but everything that I love being, so I think I'm quite happy where I am.
Nice. Brilliant. Awesome answers. What a great studio full of people tonight, Emma. Let's take a song break and after the break read you a few things come through our inbox this week. Because we've got Into the Woods in the studio, I thought we'd better play No One Is Alone.
Right things.
Who knows what she'd say?
can say what's true?
Nothing's quite so clear now.
Do things, fight things.
Feel you've lost your way.
You decide, but you,
you are not alone. Believe me, no one is alone.
No one is alone, believe me.
Truly, you move just a finger. Say the slightest word.
Reversed?
Will the baker and his wife find what they need before the last midnight? Will Cinderella marry her prince and live happily ever after? What awaits Jack at the top of that beanstalk? And what will Little Red find at her grandmother's house? Find out all this and more at Into the Woods at Harlequin Musical Theatre, June 26th to July 10th. Tickets at itickets.co.nz.
Wow, that's a great little advert, so make sure you get in your tickets to go and see Into the Woods. And Emma, we've had a few things come in our inbox this week, just a couple this week.
Yeah, just a couple, but I didn't notice it tonight, but did anyone else notice that the Sky Tower tonight is blue and gold?
I did notice.
Did you notice?
Do you know why?
Yeah, do you know why?
I do not know why.
We're going to fill you in.
So it's 100 years of Rotary tonight. Oh. So in honour of 100 years of Rotary, Auckland Sky Tower is being lit in their signature colours. So there we go. So if you're looking at the Sky Tower tonight, give a big cheers up to Rotary.
Yeah, well done. And Rug Up Auckland, the Aotea Square ice rink, is back from Thursday the 17th of June through to Sunday the 1st of August. Grab your warm winter clothes and glide into the cosy season with the iconic ice rink and 35-metre multi-level slide, courtesy of Paradise Ice Skating. Whether you've never stepped, skate or iced,
whether, can you say that again, please?
It's actually how they've written it. Whether you've never stepped skate on ice before. Oh. Stepped skated on ice. Anyway, or if you're a seasoned pro, come and have some fun. Book now at Auckland Live.
And the second iteration of the exhibition, Māori Moving Image, which examines photographs, texts and oral histories, will be presented at Te Uru in Te Rangi this winter. The exhibition will portray the resilience and continuation of Matarangi Māori through the selection of artists exploring the archive in their practice. So that's at Te Uru from the 12th of June to the 29th of August. And then it's actually going down to Christchurch Art Gallery. So there we go. So check it out at info@teuru.org.nz.
Now, Emma, we've had lots of fabulous feedback on the new website that you launched last week for Kick Art. It's a great place for all these people to place their advertisements and information on what they've got coming up. And, of course, email us still so that we can get our bulletins out. So how can they find us?
So you can email us on our new email, which is info@kickarts.org.nz. Or if you'd like to advertise with us, we have free listings and paid listings. And you can put your events up on our page, and those paid listings include, of course, us plugging you on air.
Yeah, just like you heard the Harlequin ad. So check us out at kickarts.org.nz. All right, back to our studio guests now. And before we sort of wrap soon and talk about your shows again, it's time for us to throw you some tough questions. Right, it's time to get deep and meaningful, very deep. And we did a draw earlier, and Simon, you won. So you're up first. Simon, if you could go back in time and talk to your 16-year-old self, sit him down on the chair, what would you say?
I would tell him to get to accept how vulnerable you need to be on stage much earlier. So it took me a while to figure that out. But what I found out in the process is that the place that I feel most comfortable is the stage. As soon as I can forget about what other people think, it becomes a special place, a real safe place as well. So I think that's what I would tell my 16-year-old. I think he had a little bit too self-conscious about what people were thinking.
That's nice advice. Very nice advice. Okay, Beth?
Same question?
Yep, same question.
I told them they wouldn't get the same question.
Oh, no,
I said you're all going to get different questions.
These two from the same show, come on.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I've learned anything in the past 10 years. I'm not sure.
Only 10 years, was it?
Oh, since you were 16. 11. Oh. I don't know.
You're a cradle snatcher. Sorry.
I don't know. I think I would maybe just remind myself to keep looking for the bits that I love about it, and not, you know, like you sort of get caught up in trying to make this your career and pursuing it and you know, competing and all of this stuff. And it's nice just to remember, give yourself a break and like have fun, and like it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be playful and fun and about expressing yourself.
That was a good answer. I don't know why you were worried.
Thank you.
Do you express your dramatic side through your day job, just as a question?
A little bit. I work in fundraising at the New Zealand AIDS Foundation. So some of that is sort of admin-y stuff, which I probably is not particularly dramatic, but we do some fun campaigns. Like at the moment we're running a campaign called Sweat with Pride, which is like an exercise challenge for the month of June, and that's definitely a way that in sort of doing all the communications for that and interacting with people on social media is definitely one way that I can
be dramatic.
I feel that I get to be a little bit dramatic, but it's definitely been fun to be in a real show.
I do think your sweating workouts are very dramatic.
Thank you. I try.
It's a bit late in the night for a demo, but yeah.
I shouldn't reveal that I haven't done my my exercise for today, so maybe I do need to do a demo.
And Vila, I'm going to totally change the question for you. If I was the chair of Creative New Zealand funding and I had a big, massive check and it had your name on it, what would you spend arts funding on that would be something that would excite you, benefit your community? What is it? What would you spend it on?
Oh, man, that was a harder question than the last one.
It's going to get harder each way.
Wow, yeah. Firstly, thanks for reminding me. I want to thank CNZ for even funding me in the first place. So thank you. Probably exactly what I'm doing right now. Just trying to find different stories. My personal journey as an artist is to create because contemporary dance is such an abstract art form. It's not something that's quite normal where I'm from in terms of South Auckland and even in the Pacific community still. So I'm still trying to use that medium in a way to talk to them. So I'm still in that process. I'm also, I'll use that money to fund a lot of creatives in our area, South Auckland, just because a lot of us, especially in my age, are doing things for free for each other just because we love the arts. But technically that means that we're not treating ourselves seriously as artists, and so I'd like to pay us for what we actually do, because artists are serious people and these are serious jobs. And even though we do it for free, it's just like if we do it for free, you know, it lets down, I guess, everyone else that comes next after us. So I'd like to treat us seriously. If I had that much money, oh man, I'd do so much of that money though, actually. Oh man, I'd buy lotto tickets.
Don't know that buying lotto tickets is part in the Creative New Zealand funding requirements.
Can't buy
a new home for your parents either.
Yeah.
But certainly. I do love that comment of, you know, supporting artists that are out there doing things for free all the time.
Yeah,
I totally agree. That would be a great way to spend your money. Right, we'll give them the tick if we had the control.
Yes, thank you.
Brilliant. And Miss Manage, you're standing on the podium at the Tony Awards, giving your big speech before the orchestra plays, in full Miss Manage, looking
it's a gown,
purple
it's a gown.
Gown, beautiful. Who do you think?
I think the first group of people I think would be the my teachers who inspired me or encouraged me when I was younger, because I think my love and passion for the arts started when I was like very, very little, and I was constantly surrounded by educators who told me that I could do it.
Nice.
And that was absolutely an encouraging environment. And so, yeah, I can think of probably about five or six teachers from primary school. Miss Vic, Miss Week, Miss Day, all of them, I'd say big thank you.
What primary school?
I grew up in a little town outside of Christchurch called Rangiora. So Rangiora Bara is where I went to primary school, across the road from my house.
Oh, I love hearing it go right back to primary. That's so cool. Sorry, carry on. The orchestra hasn't played yet.
My family, definitely my parents, they also supported me through the whole thing my entire life. But also I think there are some crazy artists around. It's so easy to look around and see people producing art and doing art that inspires you. And I think artists inspiring other artists is how we survive and create. So you should just like look at my Instagram, my saved items on my Instagram is just full of people who I've seen something that they've done that I just think, oh, that's cool, I want to hold on to that, I want to do that. So I think artists in general do what you do and do it with pride and do it loudly, because you're going to inspire other people.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful answer. And I was nice to Vilo and gave him a big fat check from Creative New Zealand and gave him time to speak. But if creative communities or Creative New Zealand came to you and said, you've only got 30 seconds to convince me to give you a check, what is the one thing in director mode that you would absolutely love to do, but you've only got 30 seconds to pitch it? Go.
I would want to go through schools, and I would want to encourage primary school students or secondary school students to start creating work based on their own stories.
Sold. Easy as that.
Yes!
Sold. Nice. Brilliant. All right, now we've got two nervous people in the corner going, okay, because we said it was going to get harder each time. And you know, Emma, they say they produce this improvised mockumentary really quickly.
That means they can make it up now.
That's right. Well, that's what I'm
thinking. So they've got it the easiest.
They now need to do the mockumentary on tonight's show. What would that look like?
Well, the first thing we'd want to do is find out what would the documentary be called and what are our names?
Okay.
Stephen and Emma.
This is a documentary about Stephen and Emma.
know, two struggling actors, community theatre, maybe not, who want to live and breathe theatre and who want to make it big, or perhaps not. They have dreams, they have failures. Let's hear more.
So Emma, I first met Emma when I was auditioning, and I sat next to her. She had the same cup of tea that I did, and we sort of, you know, had a wee bonding moment over sugar and ginger nuts. It was really weird, but her hands were shaking more than mine.
Well, I was terrified that I was going to, you know, just fail at another audition. Mm. But, you know, something about having Stephen next to me made me feel like, no, this is a good one. I could get this one.
Yeah. So there was a bit of, you know, banter. We pushed each other forward and we clapped. But, you know, I thought, this is a woman who's going to be my wife on stage. And Fran was sitting behind me and I thought, I have to hold this woman's hand, you know, talk about making bread, the whole thing.
I can't bake. I hate baking. But, you know, I really want to be the baker's wife because I can sing.
Yeah, and the whole time I was going, Fran can't bake either. I hope Emma can bake because, you know, ginger nuts out of a bag is getting really old.
I thought it would be awkward playing with a married man on stage. But it was nice. He was really sweet and there was good boundaries. And, you know, and Fran's just gorgeous. She's lovely. I couldn't compete with her anyway.
So as the rehearsals wore on, you know, it was great. Fran would drive me to the rehearsals and sit and watch the whole time. Most attentive show I've ever been to.
Fran and I have a coffee every other Wednesday, and we've become really good friends. She tells me all about Stephen's problems, and I'm like, oh, sorry.
I don't know what you... What?
No, nothing. It just, you know, it helps build our characters on stage a little bit.
I don't really feel comfortable with this level of honesty, Emma. What the hell are you guys talking about?
Well, she's just so sweet, you know? And it's just, and we get along really well, and we've always just, you know, and we might even make every Wednesday we'll have a coffee.
So, yeah, I get to do one show a year, and this is the show that I'm going to do, and it's going to be great. I'd really love for you guys to come along to see us in Into the Woods. Yeah, thank you.
And just as I go on to do my PhD about Into the Woods, Fran is going to be, you know, editing my PhD. Yeah.
Brilliant, well done. I love it that Fran featured more than anybody. Fran's just sitting in the corner of the room going, what did I come to?
So remember, it's all about relationships.
Absolutely. Let's take a short music break and then we'll get these guys to plug what they've got coming up. Have your pen and paper ready so you can find out where to get tickets.
Trying to hold my breath, let it stay this way. Can't let this moment end. You set off a dream in me, getting loud now. Can you hear it echoing? Take my hand. Will you share this with me? 'Cause darling, the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never.
Never Enough from The Greatest Showman, performed for the BBC. Can anybody in our studio, do they know who that singer is? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes. Lauren Allred.
No.
No?
No. No gold star for you. British.
Her name's Pia someone?
No, it was Nicole Scherzinger.
Was it?
Can I never say that name?
Was it?
So that's why I was hoping somebody would say it. Yeah, wasn't it good?
Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, she sings that beautifully. Yeah. Matt, I just want to throw a question to you. Why do you think improvising is so important as a craft to learn?
That's a really good question. So a big part of as you go through workshops and start to get skills of improv, a lot of it is around observation and just watching what people do and say, looking at human behaviour. So at the theatre we do a lot of workshops and quite a few people don't go on to perform on stage. They just take the workshops to help them personally or professionally. And, yeah, a lot of people have benefited greatly because it does help sharpen your perceptions. Just things like being aware of power dynamics when you walk into a room or in a conversation with someone, you know. Is what somebody says what they really mean? Because now you're not just listening to words, you're looking at behaviours and things as well. And the theatre does a very good job of taking that down, not just for adults, but also for children. You know, building confidence and understanding human behaviour and how to react to people and how to interact with people in a way that helps to ensure that your message is across and you're comfortable with who you are and you can provide that message.
Cool. You mentioned COVID do workshops. Tell us a little bit more about the COVID theatre itself, because, yeah, there's, you only have to look at your website to see so many different things happening, which is really cool.
So the COVID opened, actually it's been around for nearly 20 years now, but the current theatre opened last year, and we do shows, we do workshops, we've got children's playgrounds. There's just so much going on, and the theatre itself is comprised of about 80-odd people. And we're all in various different formats. There's the Whose Line Is It Anyway style, where you just go in and you're playing games and it's just hilarious. I've mentioned Instant Broadway. There are other types of game shows. There's scene work. So
you had some serial-like TV style recently where you could come each week and catch the next episode. I like that idea.
Yes, Jung and the Restless, which is our soap opera based on Jungian archetypes. What's beautiful about the COVID is that you can produce your own show. So if you have an idea, you can, like Matt, you know, you can jump in and, you know, they'll support you in producing a new show as well.
Cool.
Which is really great. And so there's old hands who have been doing it for decades, and then there's new people, and it's all very joyful. And you connect to other people through a place of play, which is just lovely.
That's cool. It's cool. I mean, improvising, is it still taught in schools, Emma, like it was?
Well, I think it's part of, theatre sports is a part and quite often taught as a, well, it's done as a co-curricular part of education. But improvising as a process or a convention to help you with your devising and everything, like, you know, I still do it when I'm directing sometimes, don't I, guys? Tell me what you think your character would do and show that to me before we finish blocking.
Mm. Yeah, cool. It has its place. I want to come back to Friends that you're about to direct. If people are listening and thinking, oh, how do I find out about that?
Yep. I think all the tickets are through Ticketmaster. So if you want to come and see it, Ticketmaster.
If they want to come and audition?
If they want to audition.
Sorry, person, throwing you on the spot.
No, the person you email is benmcdonaldwork@gmail.com.
Say that again.
benmcdonaldwork@gmail.com. So Ben McDonald is the producer.
M-A-C or M-C?
M-A-C.
Do you know what?
I think.
If you look up...
We can post it.
If you look up, is it the Friends Musical Parody Tour? No. Yes?
It's not that one.
It's not that one. Goodness, don't look up that one, people.
But it's on your Facebook page, so we could steal it and pop it up, because I've already had a couple of texts that said there could be people that are interested to know more about it.
We put it out on things like Auckland Actors, a whole bunch of those kind of like Facebook groups that do audition briefs and things like that.
Fantastic. All right, team, you get your 2-minute plug now, or 1 to 2 minutes. So remind people what you've got coming up, why they should come and see it. There's a lot of theatre on at the moment. We're always saying, you know, you've got to do the budget of what you're going to, so why should they pick yours, and how, most importantly, can they get tickets, etc. And look, we'll just start and work our way along. So back to COVID.
Yes.
Fill us in.
So the show is called In Bono Veritas, which means in goodness there is truth. Thankfully, it's the first thing that will appear on Google, because that's why we chose it. But the theatre is coverttheatre.com. You can buy tickets on the Covert Theatre webpage or on Event Finder. And the show is on June 18, 19 and June 25 and 26 at 9 p.m. So it's the late show. So that does mean you can bring your children, but you might have to explain a few things afterwards.
Nicely said. And think of a good event or something that you may have had in your life, yeah, if you want to offer a suggestion. Brilliant. Cool. All right. Into the woods.
All right.
You have to plug it as good as we played it before. No pressure.
Once upon a time. Sorry, Thomas. So we run from the 26th of June to the 10th of July at the Harlequin Musical Theatre in Pakuranga. You want to come and see this. Beth has a beautiful, beautiful voice, as she's already proclaimed tonight. But the rest of the cast is phenomenally talented as well. It's on the very civil winter showtime of 7:30, which is great. That's a great reason to come. You get an extra half an hour of sleep. What else can we say, Beth?
Well, you know, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
You will cry. And you'll see us have a baby.
Yeah.
On stage.
Yeah. They don't give birth to a baby on stage.
No, but there will be a baby on stage. Yeah, and I think it'll be, you know, it'll remind you of your childhood in some ways and very much not in other ways.
What's your favourite song in the show?
Ooh, maybe
our song. It might not be yours, but, you know, what one do you
have? It's definitely got to be It Takes Two.
It Takes Two.
Got to be.
Our duet.
Yeah, our duet. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the best.
A real highlight.
Yeah, the highlight.
All right, I'll hold you to that. I look forward to seeing it. Awesome. Vila, tell us, how can people get in touch with you, what you've got coming up, but also they may have heard something tonight that they want to get in touch?
Oh, wow, yeah. I don't know. Just follow me on Instagram, I guess. Vila Lemanu is my Instagram. Is that just for checking in with what I'm up to?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Same as my Facebook. I'm a very... I'm not super social media active, but I will be in the next few years. I will be.
And if they want to come and see your current work?
Awesome, yeah. So my show is Atali Iole Crescent, which is part of the double bill with Pacific Dance Festival. Tickets are on Event Finder. It's on the 18th of June, which is next Friday, as well as the 19th of June, next Saturday. I also want to plug another Pacific Dance Festival show called Hypermass, which is a crump theatre show, which is on the 17th, which is a Thursday next week as well. Tickets are $25, 8 to 9 p.m. at Mangere Art Centre.
Brilliant. And if you're a government minister or work for Kaianga Ora, please come along and understand that dropping a pamphlet in a letterbox is not how to deal with our communities.
Yes, please.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'd be curious how that all ends up. All right, lucky last, plug away.
All right, Life FM, Camp Hilarious, Legs for Days. Great tunes, lots of banter, lots of stupid hilarity. In Auckland, it is playing 3rd of July in the Winter Garden. Tickets are available at aucklandlive.com. The great thing is it's a really late night show, so you can go and see it after another show.
Right.
Check out the Auckland Live Cabaret season. There's a lot of really, really, really cool things. If you're in Wellington, we're coming to you 23rd and 24th of July, and you can get tickets at teawaha.com or Taranaki on the 30th of July, which is the Right Royal Cabaret season festival. Right Royal Cabaret Festival. Yeah.
Brilliant. And do the three of you as your trio have anything that people can follow if they want to track down what you're up to next?
Yeah, we are LeFemNZ, LeFemNZ on all the social medias. Except Twitter, because I don't know how to use that.
Does anyone actually use that here in New Zealand, though?
Too many.
Just the politicians, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Team, thank you for being an amazing group of people in our studio on a Sunday night, and we know you're all really busy in the middle of your things, some literally coming from gigs, so thank you for giving up your Sunday evenings to spend time. Hope your shows are full, sold out, and have to be extended.
Thanks for having us.
If that's possible. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Emma, what's your week looking like?
Yes.
That was a good answer. That's code for I haven't checked my diary yet till I get up in the morning and see where I need to be.
Pretty much. Crazy times. Yeah, no, lots. Rehearsals going into Tech Week next weekend. I've got auditions for a show on Saturday.
Yeah, don't forget to turn up.
Don't forget to turn up for that. And I do believe I've got to go and see two shows on Friday night. Not quite sure how that's working at the moment, but yeah.
Yeah, our list is growing. Awesome. Well, thank you for supporting us. Make sure you check out our new website at kickarts.org.nz. We're going out with the wonderful Kiwi Mitch James and 21. Have a fabulous week and make sure you
kick some arts.
Place tonight where we both used to drink, and I remember when the neighbor broke your window, and when it used to rain, the water wore away the pain and left a puddle on the floor under your table. How you been since the last time that I saw you? 'Cause I think about it often and I miss you if I'm honest. Well, yeah, I think I'm doing fine, but I don't know. 'Cause the nights can get so cold, and I'm always thinking back to when we were stealing bottles that we drink out in the street, pulling smoke into our lungs. Who would have thought I'd be so lost at 23? Oh Lord, take me back to 21. I know it's not that long, but it seems longer on my own. And I am missing home more than you could know. And yeah, I bet that nothing's changed. The place will always stay the same. I wish that I could say the same about me, though. Do you remember us the same way that I do? Do you think about it often? It's all I seem to do. Yeah, I think I'm doing fine, but I don't know. 'Cause the nights can get so cold, and I'm always thinking back to when we were stealing bottles that we drink out in the street, pulling smoke into our lungs. Who would have thought I'd be so lost at 23? Oh Lord, take me back to 21. Oh Lord, take me back to 21. That we drink out in the street, pulling smoke into our lungs. Who would have thought I'd be so lost at 23? Oh Lord, take me back to 21. Oh Lord, take me back to 21. Oh Lord, take me back to 21.